May 7th, 2021, we're in Masechet Sanhedrin and Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. Mishnah begins, Kol zeman shemevi re'aya soteret hadin. The halakha is that if a person is to bring re'aya, re'aya means proof. What we're referring to is a document of proof. He brings his shtar. In other words, it's an individual who's disputing whatever's taking place in court, and he has a document to prove his case. Kol zeman, at any point that he brings that document, shtar re'aya, that document of proof, soter tadin, he can take down, he can refute and negate the earlier judgment. That means even if they close the case and determine that he's guilty, if he now procures, brings up this document, he can change that halakha.
They open the case?
What's that? He can reopen the case. Yeah.
Change, they open.
Yeah. Well, again, they reopen it and they will change it because of his... Amar lo, what if the Betin says to him, if the judges say to this individual or to these litigants, kol ra'ayot shiyesh lecha haveh mikan ad shiloshim yom. We're giving you a 30-day limit, a 30-day period within which you have to bring any proof that you have. I want any witnesses. I want any documents that you might have. I need you to bring that to court during that period. Masa betoch shloshim yom soter. Lahar shloshim yom eno soter. If he finds that those witnesses, the documents within the 30 days, okay, of course he'll now take down, he'll now refute the earlier judgment or direction the judgment was going in. Alternatively, in contrast, if he doesn't find it during that time period, day 31, day 61, whatever it is, he brings a document at this point, eno soter. Why not? He has a document. He should be able to negate the initial judgment. The reason is because we suspect that if he didn't find it during that time period, the fact that now it all of a sudden appeared, it must be forged. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, or Amar Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel exclaims, really, come on, forged? We're not always able to locate every source of evidence. Ma ya'aseh zeh shelo matza b'toch shloshim yom, matza la'achar shloshim. I mean, it's unfair to the person, says Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, who couldn't find during that 30-day time period, finds afterwards. So it's a debate in terms of what we suspect, what we should or shouldn't suspect. Chachamim say, you had 30 days, it makes sense that you'll find it during that time period. Says Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, not so fast. Well, it doesn't mean it was forged if it wasn't found during that time period. It happens for whatever reason or whatever the circumstances are that it'll be only after 30 days. Yes,
are we assuming that he mentioned already that he has this document at home?
He hasn't mentioned anything.
He hasn't mentioned anything. Correct. Finds it.
Correct. He's been quiet in this respect, and then it just comes about.
Right.
What if, alternatively, in the last case of the Mishnah, he states in court, I have nothing.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, okay, he has something, so all right. So then I don't think any of this would be necessarily different, because he could still be lying. Chachamim will still say that you said you had something, but you couldn't find it. Come on, 30 days later, that's when you found it. We think you're forging it. It's specifically if you stated in the negative, I don't have anything, and then, miraculously, something appeared. It's there where we're suspicious.
We learned previously that the rabbi was that said, if you state that you have a shtar and edim, and you only produce the edim, then you're no good.
Sure.
So over here, if he's saying he has the shtar, but he can't.
That was a question of whether you need to be mevarer or not,
right.
Whether you need to state it. Again, that's a question of whether you need to state at the onset what you have and so forth. Let's assume over here we're going, you don't need to state at the onset that you have what you have. Or alternatively, you did. Irrespective of it is what I'm telling you in this Mishnah. Irrespective of whether you needed to, or you did, or you didn't, comes down to as long as you didn't say, I don't have anything. This is the Mahlok and Chachamim and Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. What's that?
Same
for witnesses.
So invalidate witness after 30 days.
Yes. Well, we gave you a 30-day period. Again, the Gemara will tell us that we're posik against Chachamim in this case. We go like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. But continues the Mishnah. Amar lo have edim. Ve'amar en li edim. And then it says, bring your witnesses. Alternatively, bring your documents. It says, I don't have. Amar have re'aya ve'amar en li re'aya. Again, it's explicit in court proceedings that the guy says, I don't have it. Ule'achar zeman, and then within some time period, hevi re'aya u'masa edim. He found some witnesses. He located some document. But he had said earlier, he doesn't have. So the hachamim, that smells of forgery. That's nothing. Come on, you said explicitly. You didn't say I have it. I'm not sure where it is.
Somebody
saw
the whatever I did.
Says Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. What do you mean? He didn't know. He wasn't certain. Say the Hachamim. You weren't certain. You had a loan for several hundred thousand dollars. You didn't know there were witnesses. Come on. You did this in the presence of who you knew. Okay, that's what the Mishnah says. That's Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel. In that circumstance, he loses. We're posek like Hachamim. Lo haya yodea sheyesh lo re'aya. He says, I don't know. I'm not certain. I'm searching. Okay. Umasa re'aya. Excuse me, I'm sorry, that's still Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel still talking, right? He says, I didn't know I had witnesses, I had witnesses. I didn't know I had a shtar, and I had a shtar. That's Rashbag's response. He says, I just didn't know about it. And again, the counter response of the Chachamim is, come on, how do you not know? Okay, Ra'a shemitayev bedin. This is case number three. So case number one was, you have any point to bring the proof, in order to be soter, to take down the initial statement, unless there was a stated timeline. If there's a deadline, according to the Chachamim, you have until that deadline, no later. According to Rashbag, it's okay even to bring later. The second case was, if you stated in court, I don't have anything, and then miraculously you found something, even within 2 days, whatever the time period is. According to Chachamim, come on, you said you didn't have. We believe you. You knew the details. It must be something fishy's up here. All of a sudden you found. Whereas Rashbag says, you didn't know you had, but you discovered you had. Lastly, in the cases of the Mishnah, this one everyone agrees to. Ra'asha mitayev bedin. The circumstance is that the case is winding down and you realize things are not really spinning in your direction. Ve'amar karevu kirevu ploni uploni v'ye'iduni. You say, okay, now the defense would like to bring forth A and B, Eddie and Joe. That's who I'd like to. You had their names, you had everything lined up. We're in our last stages of this deliberation of determining your deen. All of a sudden, without having told us, without even having given us an inkling to the fact that you had other witnesses, all of a sudden here they are, you know them by name, you bring them right in. Something's up over here. Or from underneath your belt, you pull out a document. Doesn't mean literally, it means just take it. Here's the document. You don't even talk about the fact. You don't even insinuate the fact that this was something that I located. It was right there. You just pulled it out. Okay, something's up over here. The fact is that you knew you were about to lose, and as a result, you're now forging, you're now paying off false witnesses. On that last case, both Hachamim and Rashbag agree. That's we look at you and we suspect you, perhaps for good reason, that this is not a true testimony, not true evidence. All right, those are the three cases in the Mishnah. The Gemara will break them down one by one. First case is there's a deadline, 30 days within which the Beit Din says, bring your witnesses, bring your documents, and you bring it only afterwards. Rashbag says, it's still okay. Chachamim say, we think that you forged, and that's how this happened. Amar bar Rav Huna halakha kerashbag. The halakha is like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, that although you brought it only after the designated deadline, we believe you. Ve'amar ba Rav Huna en halakha kedivrei chachamim. All right, well, if it's a mahlok between Rashbag and Chachamim, and I state halachas like Rashbag, obviously the halacha is not like Chachamim, but there's a dual statement by the same person. I walk in, I say the halacha is like Shulchan Aruch, the halacha is not like the Rama. Mabruk, you just told me halacha is like Shulchan Aruch. It's a dispute between A and B. You said halacha is like A, and then you needed to continue and not like B. It's true that we don't read Gemara, we don't read the words of the Emoraim the same way we read the Torah, that every single letter is significant. But an absolutely redundant statement. I mean, you stated halacha ke Rashbag, and in halacha ke Chachamim, there's got to be something up over here. Why'd you say it like that? Peshita. Simple. That second statement is somewhat is fully simple. Kevan de amar halacha kerashbag. Once you told me halacha is like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, mimela yad'ana. Mimela means I, as a result, I naturally, as a result, yad'ana, yada, to know, yad'ana, the ana means me. Mimela, I by extension will know, de'en halacha kechachamim. I'll know that the halacha is not like the chachamim. I mean, you're speaking in very long-winded sentences for no good reason. Halacha k'Rashbag and halacha k'Chachamim. What are you trying to teach us with that double statement? Mahu detema, perhaps you would say, says the Gemara, for Rabba Barav Huna, making this long-winded statement, Hanemile lechatechila, these words that halacha is like Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel, ideally speaking, if you really knew the halacha, these judges in court, you would know that even though he brought his evidence after the deadline, you accept it and you change the halacha. We didn't know that halacha. We didn't know. It seemed wrong. We set a deadline. I didn't know halacha k'Rashbag. And as a result, I set a deadline. You came back. You said, well, wait a second. I know it's day 31, but I found my document. I'm sorry. Please go home. Now, in that circumstance, we ruled somewhat wrongly. The ruling was done. But our Pesach halacha afterwards, in telling you we're not going to accept that evidence, what do you do then? Perhaps that, okay, but the avad, it's true, you have it. Technically speaking, we should accept it and look in it again and tear down our initial statement. But we didn't do so. And we had a cogent agreement over here. We looked into the matter and we came to a conclusion. And we didn't know that we should, after the fact, accept your evidence. What do you do in such a circumstance? We sent you home already. Aval b'di'avad, di'avad, shapir dameh. Shapir means good. Dameh, it's okay. In other words, sometimes you'll have such a reality. I know it sounds unfair. It is unfair to a certain extent to the litigant who's going to be on the losing side. But listen, we finished the case. How was the Pesach Din? I mean, similar to the stories, just similar, not the same that I mentioned to you with Rabbi Raful, right? He gave the Pesach Halacha. The individual perhaps misunderstood or misapplied it, but it was a Pesach Halacha. It's not that there was no grounding to that Pesach Halacha. It's that we're not now going to tear it open and redo it. Kamashma'nan, di'i'avid mehadrinan le. That's why you have the double statement of Rabba Barav Huna. He begins, he says, Halacha k'Rashbag. Halacha is, although you passed the deadline, we accept. You didn't accept. You're the three judges up at the front. You didn't accept. We said, no, we finished. You didn't match our deadline. You didn't meet our deadline. All right, and we send you home. What about in such a circumstance? B'di'avad, do we say that's it? Keep the case? No. Kamashma'lan. En halacha kechachamim. Do not go based on chachamim under any circumstance. No b'di'avad and l'chatechila. There's no ideal and unideal over here. That's the suggestion. What's that? Why would you have thought we'll fall back on Chachamim? Yes, probably something along the lines of them being majority. In other words, the fact that Rashbag is going up against Chachamim, maybe the Chachamim who have, generally speaking, the strength because they're the majority. The interesting thing is, you're going to see in the next segment of the Gemara, when Rashbag goes up against Chachamim, in all cases except for either the one in our Mishnah, number two, or three cases, our case plus two, halachas like Rashbag. But you're right. I know that's probably the logic for why we'd have a lechatechila b'di'avad over here. When it comes down to it, you're leaning on a solid opinion. Listen, it's generally speaking in halacha and Talmud, you're talking about, even when you have Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yoshua, even when you have Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Tarfon, you're dealing with two solid opinions. You're not dealing with, me and you. You're dealing with two solid opinions. Each of them have grounding. Each of them can defend themselves. Even when the Gemara concludes the halachas like one, I mean, it reminds us of that Gemara in Masechet Eruvin, right? Elu va'elu divre Elohim hayim ve halacha ke Bet Hillel. Bet Shammai and Bet Hillel, they're both right. They're the words of God, but the halachas like Bet Hillel. When you talk about the halachas like Bet Hillel, it's that type of statement in general which opens our understanding to, you're in that pressing situation and you determined, you spoke to the rabbi to determine, I'm in a difficult circumstance. Can I rely on the minority opinion? Who ever heard of minority opinion? The Torah says, the Torah says you go based on majority opinion. What's with this? This game, minority opinion? It's basing itself on this principle. It's not that the minority opinion is wrong. If it was wrong, scratch the Gemara. Just tell me the winning opinions and chalas, close the book, we're done with this. Elu va'elu divrei Elohim hayim. In turn, this case being an exception to that rule, generally speaking, tells you there's validity, there's truth to both opinions. We determined based on our principles, like one opinion. It's not to say the other one's wrong per se. It's for that reason that I don't criticize people, generally speaking, when they say, I want to be mahmir, if that's the type of life they live, on everything. So, I mean, the knee-jerk response is, it's not the way. We follow halakha. It's a system. You're wrong in being mahmir. It's a minority opinion. Not so fast. Minority opinions also have truth to them. That's the way in Brisk. That's the way many of my rabbis explain that concept in Brisk. They're mahmir on everything. They won't tell you it always, the rabbis and the adherents to the school of Brisk, but on everything. Anytime there's a chumrah to be found, they get nervous. There's a little bit of ADH, a little bit of OCD there. There's no question. It's a halachic OCD, right? And so they go, but it's wrong. How could you be doing that? We have principles of halach. Chacham Vadya Yosef would yell at them. What are you talking about? Halakha kemaran, halakha is like the majority. It means that there is truth to it. So they want to take that sort of approach. They want to take that sort of approach. You can't tell them that they're touching on something that's not true. Okay, says the Gemara onward. What about that second case in the Mishnah? Again, second case was where the individual says, I don't have anything. I don't have any evidence. I don't have any witnesses. All of a sudden, he found them. Says Rashbag, okay, he found them. He didn't know about it. Said the Chachamim, get out of here. You didn't know about them. Now you know about them. Right. Amarlo. The third case is a circumstance where we don't know what you said one way or another. You were just quiet the whole time, but you're finishing the case, and you realize that you're losing, and it's too easy the way that you're bringing them forward. You're naming them by name here as if they were your buddies, people that you were familiar with the whole time. The document is Yotze Mitoch Afundato. It's coming out of your, it's coming out, was that the Lashon? Afundato?
Yeah.
Pundato. It's coming from underneath your belt. It just seems too close to us that you had it there the whole time and all of a sudden you decided to bring it forth. We suspect that you're forging it over there. In the second case, alternatively, Rashbag will say, I didn't know about it. And again, that's what you're not bringing them forth and say, okay, now I call the court to my surprise witness. Not what you're saying. You're saying, I just found these guys. I didn't realize. That's the difference. It's the contextual clues. Amar lo have eidim vechule, amar ashbag vechule, amar rabba baravuna, the same rabbi. Amar biyohanan halakha, kidver hachamim. Ve'amar rabba baravuna. Oh, he does it again. Amar biyohanan ein halakha kerashbag. All right, another one of these double statements. Now, you can't do the same thing this time. Because keep in mind, the hachamim are the ones who are being mahmir. So you can't give me a circumstance over here where, listen, technically speaking, halachas like the hachamim, b'di'avad, there's Rashbag. There's no such thing. There's no b'di'avad, you do it. There's b'di'avad, you say that's right. It says the Gemara Peshita, this is simple. Kevan de amar halacha k'divrei hachamim memela, by extension, I would know yad'ana, I would know de'en halacha k'rashbag, ha'kamash ma'nan, says the Gemara. Here's the chidush. It has nothing to do per se with something internally in our Mishnah. It teaches me a general law. General law, if you're a law decider, if you're an individual who's being posek halacha based on Mishnayot, once upon a time Mishnayot were the sorts of halacha. There wasn't Gemara, there wasn't Shulchan Aruch, there wasn't Mishnah Torah of Harambam, it was Mishnayot. It's the way the rabbis talk about it in Masechet Berachot. It's the way Harambam describes it. Mishnah is the source of halacha. So you needed to know the principles. You have a lot of names being mentioned. What are the principles? Who do I follow? How do I follow? Rashbag is a big name. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel is an individual who carries a lot of weight. What happens when he goes up against, quote, hachamim? So the statement over here is halakha ke hachamim ve'en halakha ke rashbag, to tell you this is a unique circumstance. That double statement is, you should know halakha is like hachamim. Understand, listen carefully. Over here and only over here, en halakha ke rashbag. Rashbag's authority in terms of our acceptance is across the board. We accepted him in every single one of his cases except for this case. Says the Gemara HaKamash Ma'anan, this is the Hidush, the Behahi in Halacha Kirashbag. On this Halacha, that second case in our Mishnah where he says, I don't have anything, all of a sudden he does, HaBekulu, we could derive alter, in contrast, Bekulu, in all the other cases, Halacha Kirashbag. That's a significant thing. Furthermore, says the Gemara, it's not only a Hidush in that respect, it's because we have a different tradition. Another tradition maintains that Halacha is like Rashbag in every case except for three. So this statement is it's for every case except for this one. The other tradition is Le'apuke Nafka Mina means Yotze Mize. Le'apuke means Lehotzi, to exclude Mehade Amar Abba Barbar Hana Amar Biyohanan. A different tradition in the name of Rabbi Yohanan instead of Rabba Baravuna, Rabba Barbar Hana. Kol makom sheshana rashbag, every circumstance where we have a statement from Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel b'mishnatenu in our Mishnayot, halacha kamoto, halacha is like him, hot, Now, instead of there being just our case, there's three cases. Me'arev, v'sidan, v'ra'aya aharona. Except for three cases. The first two are the foreign cases. The third one, ra'aya aharona, is a reference to our Mishnah. The later, the last, ra'aya. Ra'aya, of course, a reference to our Mishnah, where we're talking about bringing the evidence from your document. The first case in our Mishnah, where you brought evidence from your document after the deadline, we'll call that ra'aya rishona halakha kerashbag. Ra'aya aharona is this circumstance. That's the situation. What are those other two? Very, very briefly. They have no bearing on us whatsoever. Very briefly, arev. Arev refers to the guarantor, right? So I owe you the money, but I have a guarantor. If you then come to collect from me, I turn to the guarantor even as I have money. Generally speaking, the guarantor is when I don't have money, and I say, the guarantor is going to pay you. Is he allowed to do that? Okay, that's a mahlok rashbag and hachamim. Elsewhere, masecha bava batra. What's Sidan? Sidan's the name of a place. What happened over there, if I remember correctly, the case was that a fellow says to the woman, I'm going to give you this get, this document of divorce, provided that on condition that altenai, that you'll give me my talit, my cloak, and she doesn't have it. So, and he gives her the get, and she doesn't fulfill the condition, but she wants to pay the value of the cloak, of the talit. Is that good or not? Mahlok Rashbag and Chachamim. Okay, so those are the other two cases. Says our Gemara, that's why you had the double lashon of halakha ki Chachamim in halakha ki Rabban Shimon Gamliel, to tell you here and only here. Forget about those other two cases. The other two cases, and by extension, every other case, halakha ki Rashbag. Okay, says the Gemara, Hahu Yanuka, a short story, there was a young man, below the age of bar mitzvah, we have to assume, maybe even younger. And he's not only a young man, he's a yatom, he's orphaned. As a result, he's got the assets, he's got the responsibilities of his father. And tav'uhu lidina kamed rav Nachman. There are debtors to his of his father. And all those people come and claim, your father owed us money. What? And they bring him to court with Rav Nachman. So here's the young man having to deal with his father's debts. Amar le itlach sahadeh. Turns Rav Nachman to this young man. He says, you have any witnesses? Yeah, sahadeh means witnesses. Amar le lo. I don't. Itlach ra'aya. Young man, do you have a document that can prove that your father paid back this loan? Do you have a document that could prove that some of the details here are off or something like that? Amar le lo. He says, I don't. Hayaveh Rav Nachman. I mean, what's going to happen? Of course, Rav Nachman says, listen, they have a claim. They have a document that your father owes them money. You have no counter document. You have no witnesses that claim that your father actually paid it back. We have no way of supporting your claim over here or defending you and saying that you don't owe that money that your father allegedly still owes. There goes the yatom, the orphan. He's azil, he's walking, and bachir, he's crying. I mean, you know, his father passed away, and now he has all these debts, which he didn't know about. And for all he knew, his father paid them back. You know, let's say his father told him so, whatever it is. But he has no way of proving it. Hazid. Shama'uhu hanach inche. Some individuals hear him. Hanach, these, or those men, heard him crying. And they're listening up and say, well, so Hazit, what happened? Amru le, they turned to him and say, you should know, young man, young orphan, anan yad'inan bimile de'avuch. We know the matters of your father. We can testify. We know that your father paid back that loan. Now the case was already closed. The orphan said explicitly in court that I don't have any testimony and I don't have any documents. Our Mishnah told us that Rashbag would tell you under all circumstances you're okay. Chachamim told you you're in trouble. We suspect that you're forging. Even in this case, the young man and his father, well, he did say, I don't know. Amar Rav Nachman, as they enter into the court, says Rav Nachman, Beha, Beze, on this case, Afilu Rabbanan Modu. Even Chachamim would agree that we'll tear up the initial ruling and accept these witnesses. Why so? What's the difference? It's a standard case. Diyanuka b'mile d'avua layada. A young man in the lifetime of his father. He's not involved in his father's business. He doesn't know about his father's dealings and whether he paid it back, whether he didn't pay it back. And as a result, we don't suspect, because again, the context over here is not a strict black and white law. It's because we suspect that he's lying. It's because we suspect that there's there's forgery. Over here, you're suspecting the kid that he's forging? Maybe yes. But why would he be... why? Because of his initial claim? His initial claim makes sense that he wouldn't know. When you said in court, I don't have... All right, you should have known. That's what I said to you, Charlie, earlier. Come on, you didn't know there were witnesses. You didn't know you had the document. Alternatively, you have a young child on your father's assets. In what, that circumstance, we do believe you.
What
yeah.
What is the normal law for this guy? A minor is hayav to pay off his father's
yes. assets? Yes. Yes, will be ma'amid apotropos, which means to say we'll put a person in charge of the estate who will help pay back those things, but it will fall onto the minor. He'll have to pay it back either as a child or when he gets older, whatever it is.
Oh, not but as a minor.
If he has the money, the apotropos, so then the apotropos takes care of it. We have to court appoint an individual to take care of the estate after the death if there's children and, you know, right. women as well, you know, that we've... In halacha, we don't have them handling the estate.
Is it just that they feel bad for him because he's an almanah?
Apparently not, because he's a yatom. It crossed my mind as well. I gotcha. Joe says, listen, maybe they're lying because I hear you. I guess we grant them the benefit of doubt. They are witnesses. We want to believe them. They do claim they know it.
That's and we're not for shit that he would go that far that he would hire them. That's the thing.
Right? Correct.
Because we're the original guy, we're choshed him.
Keep in mind, we would, in general, you bring in a regular court case, you bring witnesses, we're not hoshed that way, right? We check them and so forth. Right, yeah, in a regular case, we are hoshed right. if you said you don't have, and then all right. of a sudden you have. Child, we don't. You know, Joey's just saying, maybe we should be hoshed that they're lying for you. You don't even know, young right. man. Okay, that far we don't go.
Yeah. How many generations does the debt follow through?
It's straight down. Anyone, the relatives have to pay off the debt. You know, it doesn't vanish.
Yeah,
yeah. That's the you know we have to take care of the debtors. Anyway, says the Gemara onward. Excuse me. Says the Gemara. Amra le. Excuse me. Hahi itita. Four lines from the bottom. Five words onto the line. Hahi itita. Itita. A woman. We switch the taf with the sheen. Itita. Isha. De nafak shetara mitute yada. Nafak again means to come out. So a document literally means falls out from her hands. What it means is she brings it to court. It's found that she has a document. What's this sort of document? It's going to support the claim of one of the sides. In other words, she has the document that stated that X owes Y money. That's all it says in the document. It's signed by witnesses that X owes Y money. That's important, a piece of evidence. But she doesn't just bring the document to court. She speaks up as she brings out this document in court that Joey owes Stanley money. Amra le, she turns to the judge and says, Yad'ana b'hashtara de pariyahava. You should know I have this document, showing you the document, you know about the document, take a look at it, but it's already paid up. Now again, sometimes that would happen. We would give. It's a deal between me and Joey. Joey says, "I don't want you holding on to the document. I don't feel comfortable. Let's find a third party." She's the third party, but she claims that this is paid up. Now, women, generally speaking, are not believed. What happens with her testimony in this context?
She's speaking up as a litigant or as a witness.
As a witness, she's not a litigant. It's between Joey and Stanley.
I thought women are not allowed to testify.
Women are not allowed to testify. What himna? Rav Nachman, listens to her. He believes her. Believes her can't be a regular testimony. A regular testimony is not going to be accepted. It has to be something beyond that in terms of what she's saying, that there's some sort of logical reason why she should be believed. Why so? Amar le Ravala Rav Nachman Keman. Whose opinion are you following? What sort of logic is it that this woman is believed in this context? Kirbi? Are you following the opinion of Rabbi de Amar Otiot Niknot Bemesira? Are you following the opinion of Rabbi? Now there's a mahlok between Rabbi and Chachamim elsewhere. Masechet Bava Batra comes up throughout Talmud. And the question is, if I, you know, see, used to exist, I guess we have parallels in stocks or something like that today, or selling other type of stuff. But what used to happen is you would buy documents. So I would buy a document from Joey in which you owe him money, Stanley. So now I own that and you owe me the money by buying that document. How do I buy a document? We know how we buy all sorts. We know how, quote unquote, Isha Niknet, the first Perek in Masechet Kiddushin, describes how you do all sorts of kinyanim. There's kinyan Meshicha, and there's kinyan, there's all sorts of kinyanim, kinyan Kesef, and so forth. How do you buy a document? So is there some formality? Halakha is, according to Rabbi, otiyot niknot b'misira. The words, the letters in this document are bought, quote unquote, b'misira. Of course, I'm paying him the money, but the second he hands that document over to me, it's mine. I need nothing more. Okay, pause for a second. That's one opinion. Possession. It's in my possession, and it's legally in my possession. Alternatively, it's not mine until he not only hands it over to me, but he needs to write another document. And in this document, it's a bill of sale. And in it, it says, I sold this document to Harari. That's the other way of going. Now, the only way we could understand this woman being believed is if it's her own item. If it's her own item, she's in possession of this document. She's not just holding on to it as, I don't know, a storehouse. This is hers, is if we follow the opinion of Rabbi. Rabbi says, the second I handed it over to her, it was hers. As a result of it being hers, we believe her. She could talk, she could say whatever. It's her document. She could say, this document is null and void because it's already been paid off. Chalas. Says the Gemara that Rav Nachman is countered by Rava. You're really following Rabbi? It's Mahlok Rabbi and Chachamim. We don't always follow that opinion that otiyot niknot b'misira.
She needs the bill of sale also?
She needs, according to the Chachamim, which counters Rabbi, she needs the bill of sale. Right. And that's the claim of Rava to Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman, the fact that she's holding this is not sufficient for us to believe her. She needs the bill of sale. Amar le shane hacha. Says Rav Nachman, Rava. Rochi, there's a different detail over here. And for that reason, I'm believing her. What's that? Di'i ba'aya kalte. If she had wanted to, she could have burnt this document. She could have destroyed this document. Keep in mind, she's the one who's holding on to the document. She's also the one who's claiming, although this was a valid deal, it's over. It's been paid up. That's what we call a migo of Mali Leshakir. We saw this mentioned a page or two ago. The idea is, migo means since, or from within, and the claim can be made, why should I have showed this to you had I not been telling you the truth that it's paid up, right? In other words, the easier way is just burn it. What are you talking about? There never was such a deal. Khalas, there's no way of proving differently. The fact that it's me who's holding on to it, showing it to you, and now negating it, that gives me that ne'emanut. So even a woman in that circumstance would be believed because we're not believing her bitorat with the mechanism of edut, she's a witness, but rather with the claim. It's a svara, it's a tibiyam. So that's the statement of the Gemara. Continues the Gemara and it says, ikad amre. There's a different version as to what took place. Now the details of the case are the same. The ruling and the deliberation are a little bit in the opposite direction. Again, the case was there's a dispute between Stanley and Joey. The woman has the document who shows that this was actually a deal, but she claims it was already paid up. What happens? Lohimne Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, I'm sorry, honey, we don't believe you. He's not going to talk to a woman like that. I'm sorry, ma'am, we won't believe you. We don't believe you. We see the document. Amar le Rava le Rav Nachman. Rava turns to Rav Nachman and says, why are you not believing her? Veha iba'it kalte. If she wanted, she could have burnt it, and as a result, she should be believed. She can make that claim. She's got the migo of Mali le Shakir. Says the Gemara, kevan de, or responded Rav Nachman to Rava, kevan de ithazik bebe. This is a different case. You see, this document was already nitkayem, it was already established in the court. The court had already held on to this document. Not only had they already held on to this document, ithazik, according to Rashi, means there was kiyum shtarot. Kiyum shtarot means we verified the signatures. We in court had a special process and procedure in which we determined these are good signatures and we upheld this document as a valid document. You're telling me that she now could make a claim? There was no document on Chicago. I burnt it. She would never burn it. Once the court already saw it, once the court already dealt with that document, she lost any claim, any capability to burn it. If she lost the capability to burn it and get it out of sight, out of mind, because it's not out of sight, out of mind. We already saw it. You know, Lehavdil. We already took a picture of it. Lehavdil. We already put it down in our records. We know about this case. We know about this document. There's no ibaya kalten as a result, because that was the details of the case. So if Zarif Nachman, she's not believed. The Gemara quickly, we'll continue with this next time. The Gemara will now challenge that from a Beraita, in which it appears as if, even in that sort of circumstance, there might still be a Ne'emanut. But again, just to summarize very briefly what we addressed and we discussed today, we learned this Mishnah, the next Mishnah in Daf Lamed Aleph, we're almost done with the Perek, right? This last Mishnah in the Perek describes three separate cases. What are they? Very briefly, they're cases in which the court proceedings turn to the litigant who's on the defense stand and say to him, where's your evidence? And they either stipulate a time period, or he says, I don't have, or alternatively, he all of a sudden has absolute details in too easy a fashion. In each of those circumstances, first two Mahlok, Rashbag, and Chachamim, we're posekin the first one like Rashbag, second one like Chachamim, the last one everyone seems to agree to. Then we have two interesting cases in the Gemara, one being a child, and the child said the Gemara wouldn't know about his father's stuff, and as a result, we don't suspect that there's forgery, there's no Hashash of Ziyuf, and therefore even Chachamim, says Rav Nachman, would agree that we accept. And then last we had a little bit of a different spin in which the woman brings the document forward and she claims, but it was already paid up. Should we believe or should we not? Two versions in Rav Nachman. Baruch Adonai Le'olam. Amen v'amen.